Welcome to Reality Hacker TV. I am your host, Michael Gustin. Very glad to be here with you today. Very glad to be here with you today. You know, sitting here and talking with you, or talking as I imagine you're listening, it is really exciting for me. Exciting in the sense that I know a lot of reception is from your end, and a lot of giving is on my end. And to me, this whole podcast is a continuous event of giving, where I'm able to give in the best way that I know how, which is sharing my experiences and my life and my ideas with you, in the hopes that you'll take them, and if they serve you well, use them to your full advantage. And if they don't, that's okay too. So today is going to be a little bit of a different episode. If you're in our Facebook group, Law of Attraction, Reality Hacker Co., you can find us on Facebook or go to realityhackercommunity.com. I recently asked our group if they wanted to receive biblical commentary under the context of Neville's work. And, you know, because if you read a lot of Neville Goddard, you see that he references the Bible a lot, but he doesn't reference the Bible in an evangelical way. He references it in a mystical way, in an allegorical way. And today I want to follow in those footsteps. If you know me, you know I used to be a pastor. I was heavily involved in Christianity until I realized the things that Neville speaks about. And that ultimately is what led to why I'm here today speaking to you about this. And it's my first time publicly talking about, you know, the Bible and things inside of the Bible and really relating to them and teaching with them in a while. So I appreciate that you're here listening. No, there's no dogma being spread here. It's plain and simple. What I like to call identity discovery. The Bible is the greatest psychological handbook that has ever been written. You can debate the historicity of it all day. The esoteric truths that litter its pages are innumerable. And there's really so many. You could create books and books and books and books and books on the esoteric and mystic literature that is inside of the Bible. So today, we're going to take Psalm 23. One of the most famous psalms. We're going to take Psalm 23 and we're going to do a little commentary on it. And at the end of this, I hope that you come away with some confidence in who you really are, in your ability to create your experiences and your circumstances, because I know I am. So without further ado, let's get started. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all of the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Really, really sleek passage. You know, this psalm is referenced in so many movies and different places. You know, it's really one of the most famous psalms. But the first part we go into this, we look at the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And here's where we really begin to dive into this from a Neville perspective. When we understand that imagination is God, imagination is the creative power of the universe, my awareness of being, right? As Neville would say, your awareness of being is the creative power in your life. And what you are aware of dominantly creates and produces the substance of itself in your life. So my awareness is the Lord and Shepherd. That which I am aware of being is the sheep that follow me. So good a shepherd is my awareness of being, it has never lost one sheep or thing that I am aware of being. My consciousness is a voice calling in the wilderness of human confusion, calling all that I am conscious of being to follow me. So well do my sheep know my voice that they have never failed to respond to my call. Nor will there ever come a time when that which I am convinced that I am will fail to find me. I am an open door for all that I am to enter. My awareness of being is the Lord and Shepherd of my life. Now I know I shall never be in need of proof or lack of evidence of that which I am aware of being. Knowing this, I shall become aware of being great, loving, wealthy, healthy, and all other attributes that I admire. And if you want to follow along, this is in Neville's book, Your Faith is Your Fortune. This is a commentary on the 23rd Psalm, featuring some of Neville's ideas and also some of mine. So, my awareness is my Lord and Shepherd. That which I am aware of being is the sheep that follow me, right? So, that which I am aware of being is the sheep that follow me. The awareness is the Lord. The unconditioned awareness is the Lord. The conditioned awareness, that which I am aware of being, is the sheep that follow me. So good a shepherd is my awareness of being that it has never lost one sheep or thing that I am aware of being. And what this means is that so good, so powerful, so consistent is our emotional focus, our emotional awareness, our intensely emotional dominant states of consciousness, the perceptions which dominate our inner dialogue during the day with emotional charges, never fails to find us in this world, because as within, so without. And you can have total confidence in this. My consciousness is a voice calling in the wilderness of human confusion, calling all that I am conscious of being to follow me. So well do my sheep know my voice that they have never failed to respond to my call, nor will there ever come a time when that which I am convinced that I am will fail to find me. I am is the Lord, the unconditioned awareness of being that creates reality, physical experience. I am is the Lord. Conditioned, I amness, I am healthy, I am wealthy, I am wise, are the sheep that follow I am. And everywhere I go, there I am. So none of my sheep will ever fail to find me, because my sheep never fail to find I am, which is the creative power that creates through us, through others, in this physical world. I am an open door for all that I am to enter. My awareness of being is the Lord and Shepherd of my life. Now I know I shall never be in need of proof or lack the evidence of that which I am aware of being. Knowing this, I shall become aware of being great, loving, wealthy, healthy, and all other attributes that I admire. I am an open door for all that I am to enter. Wow. So I am the awareness of being, the creative power of the universe, an open door for all that I am to enter. All that implies multiple things, implies sheep, implies characteristics, implies attributes, healthy, wealthy, wise. I am is an open door for all that I am could be to enter. My awareness of being is the Lord and Shepherd of my life. Now that I know this, I will never be in need or proof or lack of evidence of that which I am aware of being, because I know that if I am aware of being something, my sheep will not fail to find me. My job here is to persist in what I am aware, in what I am wanting, persist in that awareness of being. Persist in the present awareness of being that which I want to be, and my sheep will never fail to find me. Just like when I am sitting in the awareness of what I do not want to be, My sheep also find me, the sheep of poverty, the sheep of sickness, the sheep of lack. The sheep that is lack, the sheep that is poverty, the sheep that is sickness. The sheep never fail to find I am. That which you are aware of being must unfold itself into your life. This is the law. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. My awareness of being magnifies all that I am aware of being. So there is ever an abundance of that which I am conscious of being. It makes no difference what it is that man is conscious of being. He will find it eternally springing in his world. The Lord's measure, or man's conception of himself, is always pressed down, shaken together, and running over. My awareness of being magnifies all that I am aware of being. It's really simple. My awareness of being magnifies itself. So it's saying exactly what it's saying. We cannot be aware of the fact that we're so struggling to find work, and we're struggling to create a business, and we're struggling to get this off the ground, and we're struggling in this relationship. We can't carry the consciousness of this and expect the consciousness to not produce itself in our world, because that which we are aware of being magnifies what we are aware of being. And the Lord's measure, or my conception of myself, my ideas about myself, of what I believe I deserve, of what I am aware that I should have and I do have, is given back to me, pressed down, shaken together, running over. I can never get in my life anything other than that which I am aware of being. My sheep never fail to follow me. They never fail to find me. Everything that I am aware of being, I am producing more of in my world. And it doesn't matter how much action I'm taking in the opposite direction. I can even think that I'm taking action to produce my goal, my desired outcome. But if I am not already aware of being that desired outcome, of having accomplished that desired outcome, it will never come out. It's really interesting when you take the word outcome and reverse it, it's come out. Because your desires come out of imagination. Desire exists to be gratified in the activities of imagination and then produced in the world of senses. Desire comes out. It comes out via our awareness of being. He leads me beside the still waters. There is no need to fight for that which I am conscious of being. For all that I am conscious of being shall be led to me as effortlessly as a shepherd leads his flock to the still waters of a quiet spring. You know, when I had my Golgotha experience in 2015, you know, I was told, per se, that very same thing. You can have and be and do whatever you want, and it doesn't have to be hard. It doesn't have to be crazy stressful. It doesn't have to be anxiety provoking, because you possess the power of God, the infinite power, the creative power of the universe. It doesn't have to be hard, but it only gets hard when we've got those deeper underlying fundamental concepts that determine that it's going to be hard for us. Because the truth is, all of these perceptions about things being hard and frustrating, they're only, most of the time, I would say, that they are from other people. We've never given ourselves a chance. Most of us don't give ourselves a chance to reassign meaning to different concepts that we've been told about struggle and strife and luck and all these different kinds of things and success and wealth. And the truth is, you deserve success. You deserve wealth. You deserve health. You deserve life. You deserve goodness. You deserve it because of who you are, not because of what you do. Because the truth is, it does not matter how much you do. Doing in order to determine adequacy is an infinitely constricting paradox. If I try and define how much needs to be done before I can enjoy an emotional experience, that measure of how much needs to be physically done is literally going to be endless, because that way of looking at things is backwards. because the world is an outpicturing of consciousness. Consciousness is not an outpicturing of the world. That which we are aware of being, we become in this physical world. And this is the only way that our lives unfold. The biggest hindrance that most of us have is that we are too unconscious. We're too unaware about the stories that we carry. So take a note. Take a note. I challenge you. I invite you to take a note of your common daily mental dialogue. Take a note about how you perceive yourself in relation to circumstances. When something goes wrong, how do you react? Because how you react determines and exposes exactly what you believe about yourself. You know, when a relationship goes south, we're going to respond most of the time with one of two things. I knew that was going to happen, or, oh, it's going to be okay. And those two responses indicate and come from two completely different places in consciousness. One is a cycle that perpetuates broken relationships, and the other is one that understands that things are always working out regardless of their seeming appearance. And those two mindsets, those two fundamental beliefs, will take both of those people down completely different paths in their lives. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Now that my memory is restored, so that I know that I am is the Lord, and besides me, I am, there is no God, my kingdom is restored. My kingdom, which became dismembered in the day that I believed in powers apart from myself, is now fully restored. And now that I know my awareness of being is God, I shall make the right use of this knowledge by becoming aware of being that which I desire to be. Wow, there's a lot inside of this. Now that my memory is restored, now that I have come to remember that I am is the Lord, and what I am aware of being is constantly manifesting itself in my world, my kingdom is restored. My kingdom, which became dismembered when I believed in powers apart from myself, is now fully restored. So we can understand here that we actually, and see, and this is super important, when we allow other people's ideas and dichotomies and paradigms and paradoxes to dictate the way that we believe, we lose our kingdom. We dismember our kingdom. It doesn't matter how well-intentioned it is. You don't have to be a great, like, we think that being nice means taking on other people's beliefs. It doesn't. Being nice is accepting that people's beliefs are what they are, but you have no obligation to believe exactly what they believe. See, the temptation and the desire, the willingness to believe what somebody else believes without searching it out for ourselves comes from these psychological, these underlying mammalian mindsets of social acceptance. And the truth is, nobody that ever really did anything truly great is concerned with being accepted. They're concerned with doing great things. Now, when you fabricate these stories, when you craft these dramas that imply your desires are fulfilled, you can absolutely leverage people accepting and congratulating you. That's all fine and dandy. But allowing our worldviews and our ideas about ourselves to be dictated by other people, dismembers our kingdom and severs us from our power. Because here's the thing, nobody is putting a gun to your head and saying that you need to believe that the world operates the way I believe the world operates. They're not. The only gun that could be there is a psychological gun of rejection that is only going to come simply because you're already imagining it. So this is the whole paradox that we put ourselves into. Is the more weight we give to a belief, regardless of whether we came to that conclusion or somebody else came to that conclusion and we decided to respect their belief and take it on as our own, it's going to produce more of itself. It's always going to produce more of itself. So the way it is the way it is for the person that says that's the way it is. That's probably one of my favorite sayings, Because it's something you've probably heard so many times. It's something I've heard so many times from people who just don't know how to bypass their own limitation. The way it is the way it is. Only for those who say that's the way it is. So we understand here that the way it is totally subjective and relational to the person who is determining, well, based on these conclusions that I've come to, this is the way it is. It is not any specific way. It's not. And coming to these understandings is the beginning of your freedom. The minute you understand that you are no longer locked down by anybody else's funky, limited projection belief and paradigm and paradox, you find freedom. Because now you know two things: that what you are aware of being produces itself in your world, and you have the choice to literally be aware of being anything. You have the choice to literally be aware of being anything with total confidence that what you are aware of being produces itself in your world, which is what I love. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Yes, though I walk through all the confusion and changing opinions of men, I will fear no evil, for I have found consciousness to be that which makes the confusion. Having in my own case restored it to its rightful place and dignity, I shall, in spite of the confusion, outpicture that which I am now conscious of being, and the very confusion will echo and reflect my own dignity. We literally just talked about this, right? Confusion coming from others when we want to speak about this stuff is really only confusion coming from inside of ourselves. Anytime you talk to somebody about this and they come up with rejection or any sort of seeming animistic, doubt and confusion, it's only a reflection of the doubt and confusion that's existing inside of us. Because the truth is, where you are in consciousness, the body follows. So naturally, if there are parts of you that are still confused, that aren't fully confident, that are still leaning on the other side of this world, this seeming world is objective and exists dominating you, then, it's like, it's not going to help you to continue to be confused. And this is why it's super important to test. Test all of this. Please don't take me at my word. I'm not interested in people blindly following the things that I'm saying. I'm interested in people testing this because I know this stuff is true. I know this stuff works. It works for me. It works for me, and it works for the hundreds of thousands of people that Reality Hacker Movement has been able to share this with. So when we begin to dive into this, we understand that this is really something we've been doing our entire lives. Because ever since you came out of the womb, you were aware of being something. You were aware of being something, whether consciously or unconsciously. Aware of being something. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil and my cup runs over. In the face of seeming opposition and conflict, I will succeed, for I will continue to outpicture the abundance that I am now conscious of being. Consciousness will continue to overflow with the joy of being God. Now, this is the good stuff. This is the good stuff. Because you may encounter opposition. You might. You just might. And it's your job, when you encounter this opposition, to come back to this remembrance that your awareness of being is God. When you find yourself in this conflict, you come back to this place, you silence the mind, and you come back to this place of beingness. And understand that all things are constantly outpicturings of consciousness. Miracles, what we call miracles, are the work of consciousness directed wisely. Miracles are consciousness directed in the favor of those who are leveraging it. You could have all the opposition in the world. If you live and persist in the feeling of your wish fulfilled, Not even a billion men could stop what is coming to pass from coming to pass. That's the truth. Because consciousness just isn't you, it's everybody. Everybody is this singular consciousness experiencing itself subjectively. So in a way, we're all connected to this. We are connected to the same source of being. Very much so. And this is oftentimes why when we perform revision, when we really get disciplined in our imaginings, with no resistance on top of that, the world shifts so easily. You know, I was just looking at a journal today that I was writing in late 2016, about the same time that I'm at, wow, yeah, wow. Actually, I just realized that. Very close to today was the last day that I wrote in this book in 2016. And multiple scenarios that I had wrote about in there have come to pass over the last 3 years. Not all of them, but most of them, which is it blew my mind to see. And it just, again, you know, it really puts my soul at rest because this stuff is real. And if you learn how to leverage the law to your advantage, the whole game changes. The whole world changes. You can be the poorest of poor men and truly fundamentally assume that you are wealthy and watch as people come together, connections come together, education comes together, resources come together, and all of a sudden, in a matter of years, months, weeks, everything has changed. These are the possibilities that you have to become convinced of. Because before these possibilities become realities, they're possibilities. And if I am not convinced of these possibilities, the chances that these possibilities come to life in my life are so small. So small. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Because I am now conscious of being good and merciful, signs of goodness and mercy are compelled to follow me all the days of my life, for I will continue to dwell in the house, or consciousness, of being good, God, forever. Because I am now conscious of being good and merciful, signs of goodness and mercy are compelled to follow me. Think about that. Signs of goodness and mercy are compelled. Compelled. Think about the last time you were compelled to do something. Compelled. Compelled is a really interesting word because it implies emotional intensity. It implies swift. It implies quickness. Right? It almost implies ease as well. Because something that's compelling is easy to be drawn. So now being conscious of being good and merciful, signs and manifestations of goodness and mercy are compelled to follow me all the days of my life. What I am aware of being is compelled to follow, find, and encounter me every single day. Because everywhere I go, there I am. Everywhere I go, there I am. I am is the door for all that I am to enter. And that which I am aware of being magnifies what I am aware of being. We don't get what we want. We don't get what we think about or what we talked to Debbie last night about. We get what we are aware, what we are conscious, what we are feeling of being on the deepest of levels. So now, your invitation to list out, according to your current knowledge, your fulfilled life. What does that life look like for you? And become aware of being that now. And persist in those states. Persist in the awareness of being that which you are. And I can promise, guarantee, 115 gajillion million percent that what you are aware of being will be delivered to you in this physical world, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Talk to you later.